So Advent means coming. It means expecting. And on the back of the news sheet, I've put a little bit of a deeper explanation of that. And the Greek word is parousia. And I think it says there on my thing, the arrival of the owner who alone can deal with the situation. So, I mean, there are three parts of Advent. We're celebrating in this season the coming of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the solution to the situation we find ourselves in. We're also expecting and thinking about the presence and the coming of Jesus on a daily basis into our lives, as Craig was saying, to make a difference in our life. And then we're looking again to the return. And those are the three parts of kind of Advent as we understand them. But I just love that phrase, the owner who alone can deal with the situation. So much of the time, we try and sort it out ourselves. And we ask God for help, but basically we kind of tell him we want his help in the way that we think we're going to sort it out. And that's not what this says. This says, actually, the one who alone can deal with the situation needs to be bought into it. Sometimes it's been said in the past, when you become a Christian, it's like putting a sign on your front door or your window that says, under new management. But some of us haven't quite got that far yet. We're not under new management. We want to carry on managing it ourselves, and occasionally we ask him for help. But my experience is, and it's becoming more and more, I'm more and more convinced of it day by day by day, that it's only Jesus who can deal with the situations that I have. And that is every single situation, not just the difficult ones, but every single one. When I, my goal, I've just recently been to Turkey, and there was about 12 of us there. And my goal, amongst everything else, was to get to know these 12 individuals, to find out what they needed, and then with Jesus' help, give them what they needed. They didn't know that, and some of them weren't aware of it. But a few of them were, and by the end were saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I just said what I've said to you. I said, I'm connecting with God so that he can tell me what you need, and then I can give it to you. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be doing, because it's only Jesus that will bring what is needed in that situation. One of the other meanings of that word is like a royal visit. We had a friend who came from Australia, actually, I think. And when he arrived, we said, oh, the Queen's coming to Yatton. And he was not that impressed. It was just like the Queen turns up all the time, everywhere. You know, I'm like, this is a big deal. The station got a lick of paint, and the good and the great. And we all went along, and we waved, and we took photos. And it was great. But the problem with that scenario is that actually I didn't meet the Queen. I saw the Queen in her limo. Doing a wave, which, you know, is understandable, because if you've got you can't do that all the time, you know. She's a very wise lady there, and she knows how to do it. But I didn't meet the Queen, and I wasn't in the presence of the Queen. And that is what God wants us to be in. He wants us to be in his presence. He wants to be present with us. Because if he's present, if he's with us, if he is alongside us, then he alone will make a difference in that situation. Two questions. Is he present? So in every situation, have you invited him? Is he there? The thing with a royal visit, or the visit of kind of management, I don't know about you, but I worked in a factory, and every now and again the boss, the owner, would come round and cruise around the factory. And generally you knew he was coming to try and catch you doing something wrong. That's not what Jesus is doing, okay? He's here to help. He's here to say, let's do this together. He's here to say, actually, you know what? I've got good things to do. And I used to find myself whistling in those nervous situations. If the boss came out, I would whistle, look busy, and find something to do, even if that was not what I was actually doing at the time. Because they don't want he wasn't really interested in what I was doing. He just wanted me to be doing something. You know, there's a T-shirt you see someone printing. You know, Jesus is coming back. Look busy. And that, for some of us, is the issue. We think that all he's interested in is getting us to do stuff and getting us to do more stuff. But that isn't it. He's called you and me to do some specific things. And then, you know what he said? But I don't just want you to do them. I want us to do them. I want to be with you and to be present and to be connected with you and to just take every step of this life with you. Second question is, are we present? Some of the problems with this day and age, and I put myself in it as well, is that we have so many distractions, and particularly our phones, or our tablets, or our whatever. And it's just classic now to be sitting around and watching three or four people just staring into their, They're not present. They're not present with each other. They are present. They are connected to something, and they can argue, and I do, you know, yeah, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But they're not present. You try and have a conversation with someone who is trying to watch the telly at the same time or listening to something else, and they're not there. There's a vacancy, there's an intermittency. And so, actually, when we're talking about a connection with God and getting him involved, we need to be present. We need to be connected. We need to be face-to-face. We need to put some of the distractions away so that we're present in that moment. Do you escort him to every area of your life? When you take someone, if you've got a royal visit, and if you see the person who's showing the royal person around, they're usually quite important because they wouldn't get the job otherwise. And then what they normally do is they show them round to all the good bits. But actually, that's not what Jesus is interested in. He knows the whole of your life. And he's not interested in you trying to escort him into all the bits that you're doing quite well. Actually, he wants to take you on a journey into the mess, into that room that you thought no one goes into with all of the stuff that you haven't quite figured out what to do with, or you're guilty that you bought and you know, you don't really want anyone to see. I've told you this story, but there were some friends in the church in the past, and they were theoretically minimalists. I say theoretically because only the ground floor of the house adhered to the minimalist thing, and I had a call from my sister, and she said with great delight, because I love Joe and I love the kind of mad clutter of her house, and I love the fact that now she's less worried about people and she doesn't tidy up for me when I arrive. That is a sign that you've actually got a true friendship, that people don't put the Hoover around before you arrive. So you just pick up the ironing and throw it onto another chair and sit down, you know? So what, you know? We're there. I'm not there to judge her house or her this. I'm there to have some time with her. And I'd rather that she, you know, it's the Mary and Martha scenario. I'd rather that she just relaxed, made a cup of tea, and so what, you know? But she went to these people's house and she rung me and she said, I went upstairs. It was a disaster. It was a total mess. It was complete chaos. She said, for so long I've been living under the guilt that I could never do this minimalist thing. Nor can they. And actually, none of us can do it. You know, the danger is that you look at me or you look at Craig or you look at anyone who stands up the front, you think they've got it together. We haven't. We might be better at presenting something here, but actually... It It's the other one. It's the one on the slide I like. That's the one on the slide is better. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, now I think we should draw attention to Craig and the, that's Ben. Ben's not happy at all, is he? Joe, Coralie. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't put us in order. That is quite sweet. We used to send out a newsletter. The problem is that photo was taken and then we were forced, like sort of, children to lick stamps and post out envelopes and all the rest of it. So it's bittersweet, that thing. If you want to know what God is like, Ephesians 2 talks about the riches of his grace. Give Dave something proper to do. In order that in the coming age, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness. Grace and kindness. That's what God brings into every situation. He doesn't bring judgment. He doesn't bring, well, you should have done this. He just goes, it's a mess, isn't it? Well, let's start. Let's start with that and see how we go. And he doesn't want you to do it. He doesn't want to say, this is the picture of what your life should look like, and I'm going to wait here until it does look like that. He just reaches in and says, let's do this together. You know, Christmas time, you're going to be doing stuff hopefully together with family members. And, the thing that I know Dad loves is to do a jigsaw. But he doesn't want to do a jigsaw on his own, and he doesn't want to do a jigsaw. He doesn't want others to do the jigsaw. He wants to do it together. And at the end of it, who did it? At the end of our lives, who did it? It's not me. It's Christ in me. It's the journey of us together that bring the solution for every situation. In Exodus chapter 33, and this is at the beginning of the Bible when Moses starts to get a revelation of who God is. And God has revealed himself and continues to reveal himself. He revealed himself, the Father revealed himself, and then the Son revealed himself, and then the Holy Spirit revealed themselves. And now we understand the Trinity. But here, Moses has said, "If your the Lord says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If you are looking for a confirmation or an understanding of, is God with you? Are you at rest in that situation? Does it bring, because his presence will bring a peace, a rest, it's going to be okay. It will bring the emotions that you need, because that's the one thing that we are missing. We need and we were designed for emotions that I believe only God can supply. And we try and replace those emotions with other things. So some of us need joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But we try and replace that with happy. Stuff that will make us happy. And it's a short-term fix and it's temporary and it usually comes with consequences. Sometimes you wake up after having a really happy night and you're not feeling that happy afterwards because you missed that you actually needed something that only God can provide. And when we're praying for others, think about praying for the things and the emotions they need. Some of us need that peace. And we try and get it by controlling the situation to get calm because that's close. But it's not the same because we can't control this world. And you know what? God isn't going to control it either. What he says is, you bring me with you and I'll bring my peace. I'll bring my rest. Then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us from this place. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? And this is the key verse. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? That's what we're talking about. What distinguishes us from all of the other, I believe, religions is we're not trying to please God. We're not trying to be good. We are partnering with him and we're going on a journey with him, with his presence right now through this life. And that's what distinguishes us from all the people on the earth. And when I was in Turkey, all pretty much every person who was talking about being converted from a Muslim background, believing background, said it was just hard work. We had to perform. We had to do this. We had to do that. We had to pray. It was just an endless list of things to try and please God. And God, in his kindness and his grace and his mercy, says that's not the point. The point is, let's do it together. Let's do this together. And that's the point. A relationship is doing something. Doesn't matter what it is, but doing it together. Is he present and are you present? Let me pray for you and then we're going to have a cup of coffee. Thank you again to the team, particularly Claire and everyone else who's got this stuff and brought it here and made it happen. And and we'll get it all back into the other place afterwards. So really appreciate the extra effort. And Father, I thank you that in that scripture in Ephesians, it goes on to say, and you have seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. Wherever we are, Jesus wants to be. Jesus will be. Jesus can be. And Jesus will make that difference. The owner who alone has the solution for every situation. Father, I just pray for situations today that need that touch. For our finances. For people who are just thinking, how am I going to make this Christmas work? For people whose jobs are in jeopardy or whose livelihoods, Jesus, step in there and just bring a peace that passes understanding. Father, for those who know that they've got to make a change in their life and they struggle with that and they want that security and they need to know that you're there, your presence. Father, I pray that they would tangibly feel you wrapping your arms around them and whispering in their ear, I'm here. It's going to be okay. We can get through this. Hold on to me. My grace, my kindness, my love. And Father, we would be carried, as it were, on eagle's wings. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who practice not moving unless you go with us. Father, give us patience for those who just don't know which way, but let's not step out on our own. And Father, I thank you that, yes, you've made this us a family, and a family connected to each other, and a family connected to others. And Lord, at this time of the year, I pray none of us would be left out. No one would feel on the edge. No one would feel excluded. And no one would feel rejected. And Father, that you would equip us to not only have all that we need, but have enough to give away. In Jesus' name. Amen.